Welcome to the Decent Crypto Podcast. Today is Tuesday, December 13th. We are live from New York City. SBF has been arrested. Matt, are you overjoyed? How are you feeling?
I am indignant. It's time to commence Operation Free Sam.
Wow.
He doesn't remember. He doesn't remember any of this. How could you possibly charge him with something that he's not really sure about and doesn't remember?
Moreover, he's sorry, whether or not he remembers. this was a little bit of a curveball here, you know. Not the actual arrest, I guess the timing of the arrest, because he was set to appear in front of Congress today. He finally agreed. And then yesterday he's arrested, which is very suspicious timing. I don't know. Like, I don't know what to make of this, because it's just, I don't know whether to think this is a real thing. Initially, my first thought was like, okay, he must have cut a deal with the Bahamian government to like not get extradited or something like that.
The extradition treaty between the U.S. and the Bahamas is like pretty clear cut that like there's basically no angle for him to get out. I think the only real angles are like if the crimes are like political or related to like war, which hopefully these aren't yet. I mean, even like the charges around like like committing fraud against the U.S.
And his political donations.
Yeah, even that stuff I think doesn't fall under the category of like political. It would have to be like some kind of like he was actually in office and did something or is accused of doing something, and then he could seek like asylum. But none of that applies to Sam. You know, my initial thought was, you know, at least around the timing, is like, was this to stop him from testifying in front of Congress? Like, did he have someone that he was going to hurt who decided to hurt him first? I don't know. I mean, it's also amazing just how quick they were to charge him, right? Considering like the sheer scale of the and like very poor organization of like FTX's like internal documents, it seems like, yeah, you know, it would be like an enormous effort to try to get to the stage where you can like verifiably like convict him or, you know, charge him with fraud, right?
I guess this thing was just so clear cut. They said that from the time of May 2019, basically, since he started Alameda, like he was doing this kind of stuff. Like that's part of the opening statement. So I guess this stuff was just so clear cut and they have so much evidence of it that it's just reasonable to charge him. Like, if you hear some of the things that are coming out in this, you know, congressional hearing from the new FTX CEO, it's like some of it is very much, it's just like so beyond the pale. It's very egregious, to the point, like the funniest thing today was, you know, they were using QuickBooks as their accounting software to manage like, I don't know, billions of dollars of funds. It's just a ridiculous thing, you know.
Do you think they paid for QuickBooks Pro at least, or do you think they're using the free edition?
Probably paid in FTT.
So let's get like a rough timeline, because a lot of stuff has happened over the last like 24 hours or so. So first we start hearing rumors and then get confirmation from the Bahamian police that SBF has been arrested, right? Then we have a statement from the current CEO of FTX, and I thought that one was, you know, it's just wild, like how out of control this business was, right? He's reiterating a lot of the things that he said a couple weeks ago. But one of the core things that I thought was really interesting is it's around FTX US. So yeah. He kind of addressed like, look, like a lot of people are asking why FTX US is also declaring bankruptcy, given that it like was a separate entity from FTX International, you know, operated according to like a different jurisdiction, blah, blah, blah. And basically what he said was, well, actually these two were completely operated as the same institution and as the same company, and FTX and FTX US were just so commingled that we had to declare Chapter 11 on FTX US too. So that to me is really interesting, right? Because if the, you know, like FTX International exists because, or existed because it was doing things that weren't allowed in the US, right? It was listing tokens that weren't listable in the US. It was listing, you know, stocks, right? Like actual securities. It allowed for like margin trading and all sorts of things that like you can't legally do as a US domiciled exchange. And so that's why FTX US existed in the first place. But if what they're saying is basically these, in, you know, these entities were one and the same, then does it open the door for the SEC to come in guns a-blazin', like accusing FTX of doing everything that it created FTX US to avoid doing?
It definitely does. Yeah. I mean, I think that's a lot, that's a big piece of this. I mean, they, the SEC going after them is a, is right. Because like, it's not a US domiciled company, right? So the SEC going after them means that they have clearly violated US securities laws. They've also defrauded US customers and US investors. The what's it called, there's like a district court of New York right, that's also saying that SBF himself violated campaign laws. So I think that's another really interesting thing about this, is that he made you know, like contributions in other people's names to candidates in New York. Yeah, so this is very interesting. There's a tweet from this guy, Jake Sherman. In the indictment, it says that, let's see, it was a further part and object of the conspiracy that SBF, the defendant, and others known and unknown would and did knowingly and willingly make contributions to candidates for federal office, joint fundraising committees, in the names of other persons. So that is a part of this. They're like openly saying this is a massive conspiracy. The SEC says this thing was a house of cards. There's a lot of spice in this, you know. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, so there's, okay, so there's like fraud and conspiracy to commit fraud, wire fraud, conspiracy to commit wire fraud. There's like a couple of others. There's this like campaign financing fraud. He's getting slammed with like the book, right? Like,
yeah.
This, there had been like a lot of speculation that because of SBF's attachments like to Washington and just the sheer amount of money that he donated to both sides of the aisle, there was a lot of speculation that like he might get off easy. And we're definitely seeing whatever the opposite of that is, right?
Yeah.
Like he's definitely getting the book thrown at him.
Yeah, definitely. There's a report just an hour or 2 hours ago saying that he appeared in court in the Bahamas. He told the judge that he's not going to fight his extradition. They said he asked to take meds. And then he said he's taking the patches. So he took the shirt off. He tried to take the shirt off. This is such a wild, wild article here. He has to take his shirt off. And the guy was like, no, like you can't take your shirt off in court. It even says that he was not jittery.
Interesting.
Yeah. After he came back to court. So yeah, pretty interesting.
Did you watch the hearing?
Yes. So the hearing, today was with the new CEO of FTX, John Ray. This dude is solid. This dude, I like, obviously had read about him from just, you know, him being the Enron guy and him being like having restructured a bunch of bankrupt companies or like bankruptcies. But he's like way more solid than I thought. Like, he completely understands the issue. They were asking him a ton of questions around like, what do you foresee as the issues around this being centered around digital wallets versus, you know, having these things custodied in banks. And he was like, well, you know, like, we can actually track this stuff like on chain as much as, you know, is possible. Like, there are a lot of things that were done, like, you know, shady. He was even mentioning like the fact that he created a bunch of tokens with like zero float and basically used them to create like massive valuations for these tokens and take loans against them as part of, you know, FTX equity. And so he has a really solid understanding of all of the core issues here. And it was interesting to see that, because that's not what I was expecting. And it actually seems like, you remember watching the Zuckerberg hearings, right, a few years ago? Yeah. And at that time, it was just a clown show of what the senators understood, the kinds of questions they were asking around, you know, his use or like just his plans for, you know, what was it called at that time? That was their first, I don't know, crypto project, whatever it was called. Oh, but DM? No, it was even before DM. Libra. Libra. So yeah, they sounded like buffoons. And now like you have people like Tom Emmer, which is like very, very knowledgeable about exactly what is going on. They're like asking deep questions. Like, Tom Emmer's whole thing was about like, look, this is a reflection on centralization. Like, this is, if you look at all these things here, there were basically no guardrails for anybody to come in and stop this one guy from doing all these crazy things. And like, that's not what crypto represents. And like, he was saying this, to hear a US senator say that, like, it was ridiculous. Like, I was shook, you know. I was like, well, how is this happening right now? it was really cool in that sense, just to see people actually being educated and talk about this in a semi-smart way. There are a few notable things. The QuickBooks thing I thought was pretty hilarious. Even John Ray, like, he's basically saying he's willing to, they're like totally going to cooperate with every part of this, every angle. There was at one point one question from a senator where he said, he basically was like, look, I'm really worried about the relationship between SBF and Gary Gensler. There was this whole like backdoor deal going on where, Gary Gensler would push through this thing to make it more like difficult to get certain, licenses or what have you. And in return, the SEC would have more oversight over certain tokens. And like, I don't know, basically SBF or like FTX would get preferential treatment, in this deal, basically. And he was like, I want to see these communications, like, are you going to provide them? And he was like, we'll completely, you know, we'll help with any part of this investigation. And then he was like, no, I'm asking about this set of communications specifically, like, will you provide them to my team? And he was like, yeah, sure, I'll give you what you want. I was like, yo, this is great.
Wow, that's cool.
So yeah, it was really nice to see, actually. And then They got into a lot of, I don't know, like as much specific as they could, right? It was a lot around like like controls of like certain parts of the business. There's tons that is still not shared. Like, the biggest thing that he doesn't have an answer for right now is like, how do they lose so much customer money? It's like, that's the question we asked and have been asking, and nobody really knows what the answer is. But that's the biggest thing. And he was like, look, we have a lot of work that we're doing to figure that out, but we're going to be able to, you know, claw some of this, you know, at least like figure a lot of this out. I think it's, look, I mean, I my biggest takeaway is this dude is solid. He actually has a very strong understanding of what's happening. And, like, I think this is going to be a very interesting, like, I don't know, what, year, 2 years, or however long it takes.
Yeah, I mean, so that is the core question, right? Is, like, how do they lose so much customer money? Mm-hmm. If, like, if it's true that, like, this backdoor for Alameda to access customer funds and, like, margin them is true, which, like, it's, you know, we have evidence now that it is.
Yeah.
Like, if that's happening since day one, then they effectively had all of the liquidity on FTX available to them to, like, help them do whatever they wanted to do. And this narrative of, like, getting front run. Did you see this tweet? It's like, we always thought Alameda was front running us, but like, what if like Sam Trabuco was like front running SBF by like going to the feds, right? Like,
what if
Caroline front ran,
wow,
going to the feds, right?
That's pretty funny, actually.
You know, we thought we were getting front run by Alameda. How on earth did they lose this much money?
It is actually wild. Like, all the biggest hedge funds that had all the advantages in the world, they all are blowing up. It's unbelievable. It makes no sense. The Alameda thing specifically, because if you have these built-in advantages, how can you possibly lose? How can you be the house and the biggest player, be conspiring against everybody else and still lose?
Yeah, like, I don't know if you've seen, like, people are kind of, like, dredging up, like, a lot of old Twitter interactions with SBF, but Hasaka had one where he was like, look, this is not cool. Every time I try to submit an order, it looks like I get front run. And SBF like, have you tried refreshing your browser? And it turns out it was just that they were, like, giving Alameda, like, privileged access to the order book because, you know, even if it's not, like, explicit, right? There's still like implicit things, right? So there's little things like checking the validity of whatever parameter, like that can take like a couple of, you know, fractions of a second longer. If you have to like conduct like a bunch of checks in serial to know whether or not an order is allowed to be fulfilled, versus like Alameda just got to skip those checks completely. So even outside of like those checks not getting done, like just the fact that they were able to execute orders faster by skipping them in and of itself is a big deal. Who knows where the money went? I mean, we've seen like previously, like we've seen evidence that like there were a lot of like loans made. According to the new CEO, like over $1 billion was lent to insiders, right? We've seen like billions of dollars of loans to like companies that are owned like in full by SBF. Maybe they just, you know, like we've seen like a bunch of money flow to politicians. Like maybe they didn't actually lose all the money in the markets and they just kind of stole it.
Mm-hmm. It's possible. I mean, there's a very good chance of that. What happens in that case? Does that get clawed back, right? Like if you're in a bankruptcy, like can you call back your loans that you've made? Like I have no idea how any of this works.
Neither do I. I mean, and actually, I don't think we even have any friends we could call right now to ask.
Definitely not.
But, you know, like if you're making loans to an insider and they use that to buy like property, that property can probably get clawed back, right? If the money's been spent in other ways, like, you know, it may not be possible. But at the very least, like, hopefully there's some, like, you know, with political donations, I have no idea, right? At the very least, like, there will hopefully be some salvageable value for FTX's customers.
Right.
And not to mention the investors, right?
I mean, look, the government is pretty good at getting its money. I would assume that they're going to be able to do something here, but I don't know. I would say maybe you get like what 20 cents back on the dollar, 30 cents. What are the Mt. Gox people getting? Do you remember?
I'm not sure. I think they're close to being made whole in U.S. dollar terms.
They are being close. They are. Yeah. But that is not equivalent to what it would be Bitcoin worth now. Terms, they're getting like,
What else do you want to talk about? You want to talk about Binance?
Okay, so yeah, I hate to get into the FUD territory, but wait, one more thing. So, first of all, I don't exactly know how all this works, but like there are different entities that are charging him, right? So there's the SEC, there's also the DOJ. So I don't know if it's like, are these like joint indictments? Like, I don't exactly understand how this works. Not that it's that important, but they're charging him for a bunch of things, right? Including wire fraud. The funniest thing is, you saw this, right? You saw this yesterday. Yeah. So there's apparently a group chat at the highest level of FTX called Wire Fraud. And they were sharing a bunch of screenshots and, you know, like kind of whatever, just like internal data about all the crimes they're committing. And yeah, I guess just to be tongue in cheek, they labeled the group chat wire fraud. And then this gets leaked on Twitter, of course. And SBF, being who he is, decides that he needs to respond to it. And he was like, I don't know if this existed, but if it did, I wasn't a part of it. I'm sure it's not real, though. It's like, dude, what? Why? It's this guy just doesn't stop. You know, he's going down swinging.
I mean, look, I'm part of some pretty bad group chat titles, right? I think I'm literally part of one called Scammers DAO.
Oh no! Nice.
Decentralized the scam.
Decentralized scam.
But like, if I were about to commit like a huge number of felonies, I probably would remove myself from the Scammers DAO group chat.
Yeah.
Or literally the one called Wire Fraud.
Yeah. Not okay. So here it looks like SBF. Request for bail denied. Judge believes him to be a flight risk.
I did see that that he was being given the judge like allowed him the right to request bail.
So that was that was earlier. Now I think it was just denied. This is 4 minutes ago. I just saw this on Twitter. he's being sent to the Bahamas Department of Corrections until the 8th of February.
Wow, that's a minute. What?
That's what it looks like here. Prison guards, when SBF asks if there's a vegan option, and they're just all laughing. Funny. Oh man. Yeah. Okay.
That's a very long time to hold him there.
I know.
He's being charged by the Southern District of New York, right? So, you know, you would think that he would get sent to like one of the like high security facilities in the area, like maybe the one where El Chapo went. But you know, maybe he wants to spend the winter down south. You know,
enjoy the Bahamian winter. He wants to enjoy, bro. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Yeah. So 8 criminal charges. I guess he's going to be held. I'm trying to verify this last piece where he is going to be held until the 8th of February. It just got tweeted out a couple minutes ago. But anyways, I don't know. That's the update there. It looks like he is denied bail. All right. Looks to be maybe verified. Nice. Okay, nice. All right, so the other thing I want to...
I think if he got bail, he would literally be sitting in that same apartment. I don't think he would go anywhere.
Yeah, probably. He would probably just be right there tweeting.
He'd be like, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Did you see the thing where he said he wanted to start another business and try and make all the money back.
I did see that.
That was wild too. Like, what is going on in this guy's head, you know?
Did you see the poll? I think it was Kobe who was like, maybe the right way to get this money back to FTX's customers is when he goes to prison, like, get people to pay to throw eggs at his face. And it was like a Twitter poll, like, would you pay $15 to throw an egg at SBF's face? Overwhelmingly, yes.
Yeah, overwhelmingly. Overwhelmingly. Yeah. Okay, yeah, looks like there is another confirmation. SBF denied bail, Department of Corrections, February 8th. He gave him a couple of minutes to speak with the family and the lawyers. SBF hung his head as he was embraced by his parents, who appeared to be trying to encourage him. Sad. Okay. Nice. Okay, the other thing now I'm curious about is we have not heard anything from the other executives, right? Or like anything about the other executives. What do you think is going on there?
I mean, I want to say it was the SEC came out and said, we're not done charging.
Okay, that's fair.
Yeah, it's unclear, right? Like, you know, one possibility for the reason that they were able to charge him so quickly is that people did flip and, like, you know, pursue plea deals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And in that scenario, they could come forward with, like, a bunch of corroborating evidence. And then it would be really easy to, like, have enough evidence to charge him.
Mm-hmm.
And so that may be part of the reason why we haven't heard anything about the other executives. You got to think that Sam's not the only one who knew what was going on, right? Like, if this had literally been happening since day one,
mm-hmm.
I don't know if that makes it easier or harder to implement relative to if it had been happening 3 months in, right?
Yeah.
Maybe it's easier to sneak this one past everyone who joins the company after day one.
Dude, for sure. Know, yeah. It's like also... Yeah. It's like, at what level also is knowing, I don't know. And even like, let's say you work at Alameda, right? And you're a trader and it's like, okay, we're just trading. You have this pool of funds to trade from. Like, okay, the pool just keeps getting bigger. Like, I don't know why we have all this money, even though I keep losing money on trades. Like, they just keep giving me more money, and, like, I don't know, your bosses don't tell you where it comes from. Like, are you going to jail? Like, what's the situation there?
I mean, if you're managing, call it a sub-portfolio, right, I could see a scenario where, like, you don't really know where it's being allocated from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, plausible, to the level of plausible deniability. Right. Mm-hmm. Because if you're trading, like, your focus is elsewhere. Your focus is on actually just trading.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you're trading poorly, which apparently everyone at Alameda was. So, mm-hmm. I could see a scenario where, like, you have, like, one ops guy or girl at, or they, them at Alameda who, like, is allocating the funds. Right. And they just tell you, like, here's what you're getting. And you as the trader are like, okay. Mm-hmm. And you're just looking, like, forward to, like, see what trade you can possibly make next.
Yeah.
You know, you could, like, internally, you could make up all sorts of, like, smoke screens, right? Like, for example, maybe you tell your traders that, like, hey, like, you're getting a capital inflow because we sold some locked tokens in one of our, like, venture deals, right? Who knows, right? And equally, like, you probably, you know, if you're really trying to make people believe that, like, there isn't just, like full-scale, like, fraud going on, you probably also take some money away sometimes. You probably say, hey, like, we have redemption, we need to do whatever. But I think, yeah, it is a good question. Like, at what level is knowing the same as knowing,
mm-hmm.
right? You know, a lot of people have been asking about SBF's parents, right?
Mm-hmm.
To what degree, like, they bought a whole bunch of property with a bunch of money.
Mm-hmm.
They might have thought it was legit, right? Like the way that we all did. Like we all thought FTX was wildly successful. SBF was like a gigabrain, right? I think the term was literally built for him, right? there's the kimchi premium, this guy was able to like ARP stuff better than everyone else, blah, blah, blah. MIT to like Jane Street to whatever.
Jane Street,
like,
yeah.
Like maybe his parents probably just thought that he was like a wildly successful quant that like went out and like saw this market opportunity at a very like at a very lucky time.
Yeah.
And managed to just like create this much wealth out of the bull market. Or maybe they knew it was fraud, right? But it seems like if you're like a Stanford law professor and you know that fraud's going on, like you would probably try to like double check that like no one's being included in a group chat called wire fraud. I mean? Yeah,
probably a good idea. yeah, man. The funniest thing was there is no independent board of directors at all. There's just so much here where you could actually say, like, maybe only three people knew about this whole thing, right? Like, what if that was the case?
It's possible.
Yeah, it's actually quite possible, right?
Because, like, it feels like it would be structurally quite difficult to convince people to participate in a Ponzi scheme, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody knows that eventually, like, the Ponzi runs out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so eventually you would propose to someone that they join, knowledgeably in the Ponzi, and someone would say, I don't think that's a great idea. And then, you have like a lot of risk, right?
Yeah.
I actually think that when it comes to this sort of thing, the privileged circle needs to be really, really small. You saw that with Bernie Madoff, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like him and like one or two other dudes, right? And then you have to wear this face every day of like lying to everyone. Now FTX itself was small, so you don't have to lie to that many people. But at the end of the day, right, like you can't have a really, really large pyramid scheme. It's a little bit like when people talk about whether or not you could rig an NFL game. It's like, yeah, like the refs need to be in on it, right? But and maybe you don't even tell all the players. But if you were going to try to like rig the whole thing to play out exactly the way you wanted it to, you would have to bribe so many people that it's infeasible.
Yeah. See, this is. I mean, I think that. I disagree. This is where we disagree, especially with the NFL thing. This is why I believe in conspiracies. I think you can easily rig the Super Bowl by just bribing two refs and one quarterback. Only three people need to be involved. That's it.
You have to keep it small, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, 100%. I mean? No, I'm totally with you there. So in a way that I actually fully agree with you. I think this guy, like, what is his name? Dan Friedberg. This guy, what, the CTO?
For sure. Gary, right?
Nishad. And then Gary is the other guy, COO or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I Caroline, think those for sure. those four I dudes, mean, some, Caroline, some yeah, Alameda side, I think like maybe a few people.
Look, Alameda side, I think it would be a lot harder to not have everyone know, to your point, right? Like, I think
it's like where probably, the funds coming from, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like, if anybody has their head on their shoulders at Alameda, like you can probably verify reasonably well that like,
so here's the thing is going on. Here's the thing that I'm curious about, right? If you are a person at Alameda, let's say you're Sam Trabuco or whatever, right, who was eventually the CEO or the CEO for a while, right? You find out that you have this partnership with this exchange, which, whatever, like leave the ties alone, right? Let's just say they're two parties. You have this tie with this exchange. You're operating with them, you get loans from them, you trade with, money that you take that, are loans, right? You have this great relationship and you trade on their platform in exchange, they get you they give you good fees. That's all actually kind of a standard relationship, right? Then you, okay. It's a standard relationship in crypto that I can verify having worked at two, even regulated exchanges. Like they offer very nice deals to their market makers who are generally trading funds, things like that. There's a pool that you can take.
Like super large volume probably has like lower
they get PTA, discounted right? fees. Many times they get money back. I think Binance actually gives you money back if you trade after, over a certain amount. There are also pools that you can borrow from. So this is all pretty standard stuff. Like it's not, you don't have to have like just a special relationship, right? If you trade over a certain amount, like they basically reward you for being a good customer. So then somewhere down the line, you find out that this company is stealing their customers' money. And those are the funds that you're actually trading with.
There's blood on my tokens.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So at what point are you committing a crime? Right. Like that is the question that I'm like, not exactly sure about. Right. Where it's like, is it like immediately when you find out that these are like, this is stolen money, right? Do you have to like terminate that relationship? Do you have to send the money back? Do you have to report them to the feds? Like, where is your kind of level of responsibility? And then like, at what point are you like just also in on the fraud?
Yeah. I mean, that's philosophical, right? Like at what point are you committing a crime? Right?
But I think it's also legal.
Well, yeah. So philosophically, right? Like, let's say you're a market maker on an exchange and you're getting access to a pool of capital. You think it's a line of credit that's like coming out of the exchange's equity, but it turns out it's actually coming from customer funds. Mm-hmm. You find that out after you're not a great market maker, so you got a business or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You only find this out later.
Let's say you find this out after years, right? Like years of having this relationship. Or maybe they even didn't commit the crime for the first couple of years of your relationship, right? Maybe they only started committing the crime at 3 years in. And, you know, they didn't tell you until 4 years in or something like that, right?
Yeah. I mean, have you committed a crime? The answer is yes, right? but it comes down to intent, right? That's generally where like criminal law starts to consider you guilty, is like intent, right? And so if you find out and you continue trading, then you're definitely committing a crime at that point. Like, you're fully like black and white, like super clearly like legally chargeable, right? If you find out but you've already wrapped up business with them, I don't know what the MO is in terms of like, do you need to like say something, right? You would like to think yes. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to know, right? I do think that actually like in this case, it's so clear cut that basically I think you either knew or you didn't if you're someone that's working at like FTX or Alameda. Like if you're like the head of like FTX's like NFT platform, I think there's a reasonable chance you had no idea this was going on. Right. I think if you even if you were like on one of FTX's like accounting teams, or if you were the person, probably like one person on the FTX accounting team, and someone's feeding you like fake numbers through QuickBooks, like you have a reasonable argument for like plausible deniability, right? Like you may have known what was going on, maybe didn't. Mm-hmm. And I think if you're like C-suite, I think you probably knew what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's reasonable. This is just such a mess, man. new CEO was also saying that this is much worse than Enron. One of the senators said this is maybe the worst financial fraud in the history of America because of how many political donations were made. I think the political donation piece of it is still being underreported. And I hate to say it. I hate to say that the reason is because, you know, it's all made to Democrats. But it's, you know, if you want to paint that picture, it's funny.
I mean, didn't SBF say that it was, that he was like, nah, fuck that. I was also donating to the Republicans.
Republicans like, in different names and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Very, very reasonable.
I mean, I think, you know, what's really interesting. I don't know if you read much like mainstream media coverage of this over the last couple of days. But I'm, you know, I'm in Denver hanging out with my mom, and my mom reads the New York Times. And I was like, hey, like, let me see what they said about SBF. They've changed their tune pretty considerably now that he's actually been fucking charged.
Yeah, yeah. Right? Now they're not trying to defend him, right?
Yeah, I mean, but in like in between the lines, you sense this like the feeling of someone with their tail between their legs, right?
What do you mean?
It's not like that they're like regrettably SBF, you know what I mean? Like they're still not going hard on like the sheer scope of fraud that he committed, right? And even in like the Wall Street Journal, I want to say like in the article about this, it was like the 10th paragraph or something that started to detail like the sheer size of the fraud, you know? And the New York Times is saying stuff like, it's been compared to Enron. They're not saying like, here's what it is, here's what Enron was, right? Like they're like still offloading that accusation to a third party in the passive tense, right? So they're not like fully owning the story, but they're not like denying it either, which is nice to see.
God bless. Fuck the New York Times. I think what's going to happen, dude, I think what's going to happen is there's going to be like one, like, and I'm sure it's already being worked on, like one massive, massive expose or like one, like just massive documentary that has like all the details, you know, like all the crazy shit that, and it just like exposes it all. And it's going to lay the whole thing bare, and it's going to completely flip, like turn this into basically like one of the most mainstream things. And I don't think we're close to that yet. I think that happens like, you know, maybe like either, I don't know, a year from now, maybe 5 years from now, who knows? Like the Theranos stuff,
like
right?
The Big Short movie.
Yeah. Like the Big Short movie or the Theranos stuff, right? Like the, or the WeWork. Yeah. Like those things happen in real time. Then it's insane. And then like, it all gets like re-dramatized a year to 5 years later. And we get to relive it. And I don't think that's really, I think because of this, like this, A, the scale of this, but like also because so many people were affected, I think it's not really come into the mainstream the way we really, like, I don't know. I feel like people in my life haven't really completely internalize how massive this is. And I also think the reason is because this is a non-US customer base, right? Like a million people lost a ton of money, right? But those were almost all not in the US. The reason we know SBF is because like, well, A, we're in the industry, but like he did a lot of marketing within the US in sports and stuff like that. But I think we're not hearing about the real scale because it's not U.S. customers that are wiped out. And the U.S. customers that are wiped out are like funds that were set up offshore that were cold, you know, not using cold storage, and we're just using FTX, right? So it's, yeah, those kind of groups.
Yeah, it's, I know what you mean. I think that one of the like weirdest parts of all of this to me is the sheer amount of like marketing that FTX did in the US. Mm-hmm. Like every umpire in the MLB had FTX US like written in their uniform, right? Like forgetting like stadiums, which people always point out. Like the fact that you couldn't tune into a baseball game without staring at the words at the letters FTX is insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That'll be like one of the more interesting scenes in this like dramatization will be like when two of the characters are having some talk about something shady at the baseball field and it zooms out of the like FTX US like logo.
That'd be good. Well, so Michael Lewis is the guy that's working on the book already. Apparently he was following them around the last 2 years.
How closely was he following?
Dude, I hope he put a short on FTT. That would be incredible. Can you imagine? He wrote the big short and then he's like, part two, plays the big short on FTT. He's like, what is this? FDB? 65 billion.
I've seen this one before.
All right, should we get to some FUD? FUD of the week.
Yeah, let's get to some FUD, please.
Yes, it's time for the FUD of the week. Oh, wait, hold on. It's actual news. Binance is dead. It's gone under. No, I'm joking. Yeah, that seems to be the news every 74 seconds. It's like, wow, now it's confirmed. Binance is dead. Wow, now Binance is really dead. Wow, turns out Binance is dead. So, Matt, is this FUD or is this some truth?
I mean, no one knows, right?
Like, you think CZ knows? Do you think he has any idea if the company's solvent? Straight out. If BNB goes to zero, right? Do you think the company's solvent?
Yeah.
No way. You think so? If BNB goes to zero. Really?
I mean, another way of putting it is like what's the next biggest token after BNB by market cap? Like if that one goes to zero.
In the sense that, okay, like,
Ripple. Get this, it's Ripple.
I believe it. No, but here's my thing.
ETH goes to zero, is Binance solvent? That's another way of putting it, right? It's like,
no,
part of it is like how good are their liquidation engines? Are they able to liquidate the collateral they need?
No.
Whatever loans have and margins.
That's fully not what I mean at all. I mean, they've definitely taken on so many loans against their positions in BNB, like 1,000,000%. They've done that, same as FTX. There's no way they haven't. That's why I think that BNB going to zero is a big problem for them.
Well, what did they do with those loans, though, is the question. So, like with the FTX story, it can kind of be boiled down to like people deposited assets on FTX. Those assets were stolen, right? Then FTX didn't say anything about it, and then the assets and liabilities had a mismatch, right? I'm trying to like I've never quite understood like what the deal was with FTT. Well, okay, here's my hot take. You ready?
Ready? Yes, my blank stare means I'm ready. Yeah.
Here's my hot take. FTT may not have mattered at all.
Yeah, see, I just don't think that's right.
If Alameda truly had an unfettered access to every dollar that was like sent to FTX of customer funds, then they didn't need to pledge FTT against anything. They didn't need to pledge anything. FTT didn't matter. It maybe mattered within DeFi to allow them to like scam harder, right? But in terms of like the FTT side of things, or the FTX side of things, then like it wasn't like, you know, like maybe, yeah, it only matters to like.
Okay, here's the thing. What I mean, right? So you can't just keep making loans back and forth to yourself. At some point, your capital runs dry. You have to take money from other people, and so the loans that you take, the collateral that you're using, if that gets liquidated, you're shit out of luck. And I don't think Binance is some super well capitalized company that has like 10 years of free cash flow sitting in US dollars, right? Because first of all, who the fuck is going to give them that much US dollar from like a banking perspective, right? They don't have banks that are just like gonna give them massive lines of credit, you know? So the loans that they take have to be from these other parties that are also probably very highly leveraged, right? And it's not easy to get that much access to capital at that scale, especially when you're avoiding every entity or every like regulatory entity all across the world. So kind of my point here is that the only things that they can really use as,
collateral,
any kind of collateral, right, are equity in the company, this token that they've printed, and any other crypto assets that they own, right? Like,
well, so, okay, let's break it down though, right? So CZ prints up a bunch of BNB. He goes to third party, says, will you lend me some USDC against my BNB? Third party says, sure. BNB goes to zero. Loan doesn't get paid back. Guess who's insolvent now? The third party, not Binance.
So if they've used all that money on their, you know, whatever, like operational expenses, other, you know, other capital expenses, like whatever, right? They don't have the money to continue operating, right? If that goes to zero.
Yeah, but so
like, if the third party goes to zero, like they also, like they're also not able to pay their expenses.
Okay. So like, say they took out however much USDC, right? That funds mm-hmm. the company for like a year. They're mm-hmm. coming up on that year.
Mm-hmm.
If BNB goes to zero, yeah, they don't have the capacity to like take on more loans, right?
Mm-hmm.
To fund the company for another year.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't like the operational side of the company is supposed to be completely separate from like the customer asset side of the company. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not customer assets. Oh, okay. I don't even think like it's that complicated. I think it's very simple. Like, do you think they're well capitalized enough to avoid, to like get into a situation where this token that they've printed, that's like the backbone of everything they do, if it goes to zero, do you think they can actually withstand that? My guess is zero. My guess is no.
I mean, it's a company like any other, right? So they could raise, right? They could raise with equity in the company, right?
I mean, could FTX raise? That's what they tried to do, right?
Well, they're completely separate issues, right? Like one is like, is the business healthy enough to like do they need to raise cash? Is the core question. And if BNB goes to zero, then they have one less avenue through which they can raise cash, right? They can still raise if they needed to. Like business finance has got to be cash flow positive. They have relatively few employees compared to like some of the large, like compared to like Coinbase, right? Or at least according to CZ, they do. Right.
So here's what I'm saying. Like, how verifiable is any of this, right? Like how?
Yeah. So look, I think you have to ask yourself one, like the core question is like, are the customer assets on Binance backed one-to-one by actual like crypto assets, right? Do they have the capacity, if everybody wanted to withdraw all of their assets from Binance, the exchange, could they like allow that to happen?
Mm-hmm.
And the answer is we have no idea.
Mm-hmm.
Like
so that's issue, right?
That's completely separate from the operational solvency of the company itself.
100.
I think is probably pretty healthy.
Okay, interesting. I actually don't think it is, because if you look at their business, yes, it's the number one player, right? And I'm sure their revenues are insane, but in terms of making profit, like yeah, I'm sure they're printing money in other ways, but just trading fees wise, like I don't know if that's a long lasting business in that sense, right? Like,
I mean, it might not be long lasting on the 30 to 100 year horizon, right?
Well, okay, like, yeah.
You just said that their revenues are insane, right?
You would assume so, yeah. But I mean, you would assume so with FTX too, right? Like, here's my thing. Like, I actually don't think, like, if you look at the way these businesses operate, I don't think they're just operating from a point of we are spending less than we make. That's I don't think that's their operating model here. I think they're taking a lot of leverage on and using the things that they can use as collateral to fund their expenses. Like finance does a lot of marketing too, you know, like there's a lot of stuff that they're doing that's not like, that's not just like money in, money out type shit, you know, like I'm sure they're very highly levered. I don't think they're doing it. Here's the difference. I don't think they're doing it with customer assets. I don't think they're gambling customer assets necessarily. I would say their customer assets are probably backed, but I think that if their native token went to zero, I don't think they could operate the business, at least the way they're doing it now.
Over what time horizon?
I don't know. What, very, very quick? I don't know. Like it would,
like that would imply that like effectively daily they're taking on new loans or selling new BNB.
Okay, I mean, like it doesn't have to be like a daily thing, you know. Like if you like project that your business can't last for like 10 months, like you know, that's a problem.
Well, then you would have 10 months of runway, right?
And yeah.
You'd have to cut expenses.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Raise capital some other way.
Yeah.
Right. But
who's gonna give you capital at that point? I think we're going way too into the weeds here. Like I'm just like
so much money against just their equity is what I'm getting at, right? Like the FTT token was like potentially like a source of. As far as of additional, I mean,
that was
for them,
massive. Right? That was a massive portion of their book,
of Alameda's book,
of right? their own book too.
I mean, FTX shouldn't have had a book, right?
Well, I mean, they have a balance sheet.
Yeah, for sure. So, yeah, it was definitely a large portion of the assets on their balance sheet, right?
Yeah.
Like and you have assets, you have liabilities, you have equity. Like what else would they have? Like cash, right?
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like so
cash and FTT, right? Finance has the same situation. They have cash and BNB.
That's exactly my point.
Like BNB, if it goes to zero, it's one less like avenue that they have to take on leverage. But most software businesses don't even have that. Like Coinbase doesn't have that.
That's exactly my point. Is if Binance's native token that they printed goes to zero, are they in trouble? But I guess your answer is no. It's all good. Let's move on.
Well, you were asking if they were solvent, right? And Coinbase can remain solvent. So can Binance. It's much bigger. Right? Like they have more trading fees.
All right. You got anything else?
No, I think we should wrap it on that.
All right. Cool. This has been the Decent Crypto Podcast. We will be back in a few days with our final episode on Bitcoin. Till then, stay decent.
None of this was financial advice, legal advice, investment advice, or any other kind of advice. If you're looking for advice, you are definitely in the wrong place. Until next time, stay decent.